Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for you this morning for our prayers that are answered. Father, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to be under sound of your word, that we have to look forward to so many things that you present to us each and every day. We feel your love. We know you are there. We know that you walk with us. We have the promises in your word that you will never leave us, never forsake us. And Father, we draw on those promises. We claim those promises in our lives as we look to you. Father, as we open your word this morning, I pray that you would take the message, use it for your honor and for your glory, and that each and every one who is here this morning will be challenged in some way by what you have given me to give to them. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I started looking at this a few months ago, this message that I was going to give this morning, not knowing or not realizing that everything that was going on was going to be going on. I just slipped my mind completely. And as I sat here this morning and I saw all the things that are going on here, I'm thinking how good God is. In fact, I was telling my sister Lois downstairs during coffee time how God just brought this whole thing together. And it's probably one of the few times that I actually am standing in front of the congregation ready to give a message that I'm considerably relaxed, because I know that God now has taken the control of it. I know he does all the time, but he's kind of given me more insight this morning in how much control he has of the things that we do, as long as we do them for him. The message I have this morning is, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And it's about serving, and we're going to look at serving this morning. There's a number of passages that we're going to look at, single verses, some passages with just a verse or two. But I want to bring this forward because I think it's very important that we understand where we need to be as far as serving the Lord. And, of course, again, when I was looking at this message, I wasn't thinking that Valley Vacation Bible School was going to be the next day. So we're talking about serving, Vacation Bible School. Now, those of you who are serving God, and you're serving in the church today, and you have served over the years, okay, do you ever remember saying those words, "Here I am, Lord, use me"? Verbally say that to God? Thought-wise say that to God? Stand there and say, "Lord, here I am, use me." I remember in 1972 when Doug Henderson asked me to be a ranger in Christian Service Brigade, Boys Brigade. I also remember in 1973 when Bob McNeil asked me to be a Sunday school teacher in Sunday school. I also remember in 1974 when Cindy Brown and John Fry came up to me and asked me if Joyce and I would be the youth leaders in Belmar. I don't ever remember in any one of those instances saying, "Here I am, Lord, use me," before I was asked to do those things. I didn't have to consciously say that. God knew my heart, and he knew that I was ready to serve. It was a time when somebody just needed to come up and say, "We have this opportunity. Are you ready to serve? Will you do this?" So this morning, it began with Doug Henderson. After all those years of 34 years of youth ministry, that's when it began. Now, as we get older, it sometimes becomes difficult to serve. We all know that, okay? Sometimes it's physical issues. We have a bad back. We can't stand for long periods of times. Okay? Sorry, Doug. Sometimes we lose weight. Purposely, we lose weight. We want to do that. So we end up losing weight in areas that cause us to be painful. So we end up with this, what we call a skinny butt. And we can't sit for long periods of time because when we sit on something hard, it starts to hurt when we sit. But it doesn't matter. You see, God can use us in every way when we yield to him and we're willing to serve him. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." You see, the disciples were witnesses to his miracles and his doctrine. He sent them forth to spread the gospel. So you and I, we're the evangelists. We're the pastors. We're the teachers. We're the ones that he's called into service. And our service is spreading the gospel and serving others. If we don't understand that, then we're missing the boat. We're not even close. It's just going to pass us right by, and we are not going to be of service to God or to anyone. And it's important that we are. The word pastor derives from the Latin noun pastor, which means shepherd. Pastor also relates to elders when we look into the New Testament, and we're going to look at that a little bit later. It's important that as a church and individuals that we understand and have a firm foundation or a solid foundation as to success in servicing and serving others. Matthew 20, 26 and 7 says, "It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave." Well, that tells me that the secret to success is being a servant. There's no other way to look at that. Having a servant's heart is probably one of the most important things that we can have as a child of God. 1 Peter 4:11, we read, "Whoever speaks, it is to do as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Serving by the strength of God. Wow, what a surprise that was when I read that. Like, I didn't know that. I hope all of you know that. We can't do anything without his strength, because it's his strength that empowers us to do those things that he wants us to do, that he calls us to do. And serving is part of that. He is the one who gives us the strength to do that. When we depend on our own power, we fail. And when we fail, God is not glorified. We fall flat on our face. Ephesians 4, verse 12. The rest of that, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." Building up the body of Christ. Do you know who the body of Christ is? I'm sure you do. That's you and I. We're the body of Christ. So we build each other up. We serve each other. And as we serve each other, the body becomes stronger. As the body becomes stronger, we become a formidable force against Satan. We become what God has called us to be. We become his servants, and we serve him, and we serve each other. "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for good work." This is the power and purpose that God has for his word in your life and mine, that it would be used to rebuke, to train, to teach, correct, all of those things. That the man of God may be equipped for his good work. God's good work. Equip. What does that mean? To make ready by appropriate provisioning. Wow. Providing all that is needed. Providing all that is needed. The word of God belongs to him and was especially given to us to accomplish his good work. God's word is more than sufficient to help us to become wise and godly people. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2 tells us that we are called. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. Some people have fear. They're not sure that they can serve. They're not sure that if they serve, they can be of value to God. Well, you know what? If you answer the call, God's going to take care of those fears. He's going to remove them. He is going to equip you so that you will be able to serve and be effective for him, for the kingdom of God, and for those that you serve as well around you. How secure is it to know that? I know it's secured for me. Confidence in serving God, having that servant's heart, it makes it a lot more viable for me, and I think for others, knowing that he's going to equip us. He can take that fear away. We're good to go. We don't have to worry about whatever it is. God's going to take care of it. He is there for us. We all know that God has a plan for us. We know that Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. His plans are working to an expected end that will be in his time. Do we know what that end will be? Absolutely not. Do we need to know what that end will be? Absolutely not. God is going to take care of it. It's in his hands. He has everything under control. We just need to give it all to him. Having part in the kingdom of God is the reason why we should be the minister that God intended us to be. As we minister to others, as we serve God, there is no doubt in our service at some point in time, somebody that we come in contact with, somebody that we serve, is going to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You and I then, being the instrument that God uses to bring that person to Christ, now have increased the kingdom of God. We added to it. And we can be thankful for that. We can give praise to him. The expectation of a sovereign God in serving him. What is that? Okay, we are created for ministry. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Workmanship, not only as a man, but as saints. God is still working on us. Okay, his workmanship is never going to end until we see him in heaven. The new man is a new creature, and God is his creator. We're created in Christ because of what he has done and suffered. We should walk in him, glorify him by our perseverance in holiness. And how do we become holy? Because we look to him. We want to be closer to him. As we read his word, as we study his word, we become more like Christ, and the more like Christ we come, the holier we become. You see, God wants us to minister. As I said, he has a purpose for our life. He has a plan. And that plan includes ministering and serving. We were called to ministry. Matthew 4:19. This is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here we have a call. Follow me. A call to service, a call of salvation, make you fishers of men. He wants us to be that. He wants us to follow him. How much clearer can that be? I think even a child can understand that. Now, Christ himself came to be a minister and to serve. And we've been given the ministry of evangelism. We've been called. What are we called to do? Well, we're called to spread the gospel news that Jesus saves, and we're called to serve and to serve others. He saved us, and he called us with a holy calling. You see, a minister wants to serve, not be served. And when I look at the Matthew 28:20, it says, Jesus as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom from many. We must be like Christ. Never was such an example of humility as there was in the life of Christ. He was a humble man. He served. He served others. He didn't come to be served, but he came to minister. We are to serve in humility and unselfishness. The way to be great is to be humble and serviceable and self-denying. When I think about that, I think about those three words, four words: humble, serviceable, self-denying. How hard can that be at times for us as Christians, being in this world? Humility is something that the world doesn't even know anything about. Serviceable, being ready to serve. It's all about me in the world. They're not looking to serve anybody else. Self-denying. Denying what you want to do and putting somebody else before you. Their wishes, their desires, their needs first. Denying what you want, denying what you need at some point, and putting someone else before you. That's what Christ did. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. I don't ever remember reading anywhere in the Bible that they washed his. If we had a service, and I know places that have done this, where they've had people sit in the front row, and people have come up and they've washed their feet as an expression of humility, as an expression of service. I want you to think about that just for a minute. What would your experience be if you had the opportunity to do that for someone else? To get down in front of them and wash their feet. I think it would be remarkable, a remarkable experience. I've never had the opportunity, but I know that if I did, I would walk away a changed person, I'm sure. The humility that's involved in that, the serviceable part of that, the self-denying part of that, is more, I think, than sometimes we can even understand. You see, Jesus was the perfect example for you and me. We just need to follow his example. And I'm talking about the example of him as he met with people, as he talked to people, as he went out of his way to do something for someone, as he stopped to talk to people when he may have been on his way to do something else or going to another area. You know, see, we weren't taken to heaven after we were saved. And I believe that the reason we weren't is because we are to serve. And that's why we're here. If God took us the moment that we were saved and he took us to heaven, there wouldn't be anybody here to serve. There wouldn't be anybody left to serve. That's why we are left here, because he wants us to serve. God designed a local church to have a plan to serve and minister. Are you following that design? Am I following that design? As I look at this church, I can without a doubt say, yes, I think this church follows that design. When we look around and we see all the things that are being done here, all the service projects, all the people who serve in so many different ways, yes, I believe that we as a church are following that design of God's. The equipping of spiritual guides to do the work of the ministry. God's people are to be responsible. The people of the church are to minister. The elders assist God in equipping the people for ministry. They're the shepherds. As a shepherd, they serve. Now, let me just back up for a minute. All right, God calls the elder. He equips the elder to serve. Then he assists the elder in equipping those in the congregation to serve. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is it to know that the elders of this assembly, those that we look to, those who are shepherding here, have been called and have been equipped by God to do service for him and for others. Then he helps or assists in their equipping the saints in the chapel. What a design that is God has. What a plan. How perfect it is and how wonderful it is for you and me to know that God has his hand on it all. It's all right there in his control. What that does is it makes us all responsible to serve and to minister. If the elders are the ones that are being equipped, they are being assisted by God to equip us, it's our responsibility then to do the same, to serve, and serve with a true heart. Some say they can't serve. They don't have the ability. They don't know what to do to actually serve. But you don't need to be in the mission field to serve a minister. All we need to do is to be accessible to God and allow him to give us what we need in order to be a servant. Now, there's many ways to serve in a church. VBS begins tomorrow. As Jim was making the announcement and he was talking about all the things that were being done, I was sitting here and I was thinking, wow, that's exactly what I was talking about. This is exactly what I'm looking forward to bringing to the congregation. As you can see, the decorating began last night. As he said, the decorating is going to continue after the service tonight. Those people who came last night came to serve. Those people who will be here tonight will be here to serve. I don't want to embarrass Craig and Daniela, but we all know that they're the ones who kind of started this whole thing up, and they're the backbone of getting this off the ground. Their service began not last night. Their service didn't begin for VBS 2 weeks ago or a month ago. I don't know how long ago it was, but I'm sure it was quite a while ago. They organized it. So you need people who are willing to serve and organize as well. And when we do this, what happens? Craig, how many people about are there going to be helping out at VBS?
Maybe 30.
30 people, all right? 30 people are going to be helping out. That's 30 people who are going to be serving the Lord and serving each other side by side for the sole purpose of serving the children who will be here tomorrow, that they may come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So not only to serve the Lord, they serve each other. They serve the children, that they might be saved, that they might have that knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have people who organize, and those people are the ones that we look to at these times. We need them to serve. We have Sunday school teachers. We have youth directors, okay? We teach the children and teens. And when we teach the children and teens, we're serving the Lord. We're also serving each other, and we're serving the children. Men's Bible studies, ladies' Bible studies, song leader. Today, oh my goodness, what went into putting this together? They were here last night rehearsing. They are serving the Lord with a talent that God has given them, a musical talent. They brought it before us. How many of you sat there and were blessed? I don't need a show of hands, but how many of you were blessed by what they did up here this morning? They're serving the Lord, and we are being blessed by their service. God is using it. Has God equipped them to serve? Yeah, I think so. By the result of what we saw this morning, not only that, but he gave them a talent to work with. We have the praise team. We have the song leader, the chairman. We have ushers, the ladies' class, nursery workers. They're up there now watching younger children, all right? Sunday school teachers, the flowers that were sent. Somebody organized that. That was wonderful for the people here. What about the dinners and luncheons that are organized here? These are acts of service. Serving the Lord, serving others in this chapel. Those who can't get out, meals are provided. Somebody organizes that. Somebody cooks the meal. Somebody takes it. I think sometimes we don't realize the amount of service that's involved, the amount of service that we see that sometimes we don't even see that goes on behind the scenes that we may not even be aware of. But people are out there. They are serving. Even the janitor, somebody who cleans the chapel, even the person who fills the cup with the juice, serving the Lord, serving others. Now, we have services outside the church. We have in the home, parents, husband and wife serving each other, parents serving their children, children serving their parents. I'll direct that more towards the teens, okay? Yes, all right. Serving begins at home. When we went on a Mexico missions trip years ago, we had projects that we had. We had to earn money. And the teens were out, and they were doing projects all over the place. And we were being paid by people in the congregation to come to their home and rake leaves or whatever. These teens had to work together. The one thing we told them was, your responsibility at home and to serve at home is number one. Don't put off something or tell your parents that you can't do something at home because you have to go and rake leaves somewhere. No, 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 no. That's not going to work. So we told them that that's where it begins. It needs to begin at home. Neighborhood, community. Do we serve in the neighborhood? Do we serve in the community? Absolutely. About 7 or 8 years ago, when I was a little younger, I had the opportunity to shovel the driveway of my neighbor. He was disability, bad back. And we had about 6 inches of snow, and he couldn't do the driveway. I did mine, went across the street, and I did his. A service for him, a service for God. Is that me, Doug? Am I doing that? Okay. A service for me, a service for God. I was doing that for God. I did it for him. What about visitation? Those who go visiting, all right? They're serving the Lord by doing that. They're serving those people. They're serving this chapel. The mission field. Now, when we get to the mission field, then we think, oh, wow, the mission field, that's a big thing. Yes, it is. Those who have been called. I remember now when I was doing this message and putting this together, it was a while ago. I had no idea that there were going to be some people here, that some people were going to Jamaica. And when I thought of the mission field, I think of Teresa Brown and how she's serving the Lord. I think of Mike and Melinda, okay? I think of Coleman Cowell, and I think of Dave and Beth Wilson. I want to make sure that I mention Coleman Cowell, Teresa, and Dave and Beth because the relatives are sitting here in the congregation. Now, there are many. If I wanted to go through them all, I'd have to get the prayer book, the missionary prayer book, and bring it out. And we could stand there for 15 minutes and just go through that. So I wanted to just mention them. And that's a great thing. But again, do you have to go on a mission field to be a service to God? No, you don't. No, you don't. I think of CMML and what CMML represents. All those people that are responsible for things that go on there. All right, it's a job, yes, but it's a serviceable job. They are serving the Lord in the position that they hold at CMML. What if for some reason you're unable to do many of these things? Maybe you can't serve by helping out at VBS. Maybe you can't get out to the services. Maybe you don't drive. Maybe there are other reasons that you can't do this. So what would be something that you could do to serve the Lord and to serve others? Any idea? What was that? Pray. Exactly. Pray. That's what I was looking for. Pray. I'm glad somebody said that. Pray. Do you realize that the forecast for this week, Monday through Thursday, is sunshine every day. It's going to be about 83 degrees, between 78 and 83, and humidity is supposed to be down. All right? How many of you, I don't want to raise your hand, how many of you prayed for good weather when we were leading up to Vacation Bible School? Were you serving the Lord by day? Yeah, I think so. The Lord answered the prayer. We can serve others by praying for them, by praying for those people that are going to be here, by praying for Joey, by praying for all those who will be teaching, praying for Marilyn, who has a responsibility in the ladies' class. There are so many responsibilities. We can pray for them if we can't be here physically to help out. And when we do that, we're serving them. We're serving them. What about the empowering of gifts? We look at Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Since we have gifts and differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. There's a lot of gifts there. I mean, when we go back and we look at that, wow, prophecy, faith, serving, teaching, exhortation, leading, mercy. These are all things that are there. But what does he say in the beginning of that? The very first part of that verse. According to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. We need to exercise them. You know, God has given us the opportunity. He's called us to serve. He will equip us. But if we don't know what our gift is, or we're not using that gift that he has given us, then what are we doing? Are we glorifying him in any way? Are we adding to the kingdom of God? Are we showing others what it is to be a servant of his? We can be an example to the younger ones as they grow and they see the service that you may provide, the servant's heart that you have, how you get involved in serving the Lord is an indication that to them that this is what God would want them to do as well, and that they would be ready to serve when God calls them. We have those that have gift of hospitality, encouragement, coming alongside others and encouraging them in times that they need that encouragement, understanding. There are Christians, man, that have this insight and understanding that sometimes just blows me away. And that's something that God has given them and they use for his glory and for his honor. We are gifted children of God. We're asked only to do those things he empowers us to do. He's not going to ask us to do more than what he gives us power to do. He's not going to ask us to do more than he's equipped us to do. We just need to trust him. God wants to use the gift he has given us. He wants us to use it for him. Put it into service for him. Now, I have just two questions that I'd like to propose to you in closing. One, ask God concerning your involvement in ministry. You see, it takes a group of people, not just a few. And again, VBS is the example. It's not just a few people that are bringing this together and making this happen tomorrow. It's a group of people. It's this assembly, those who are praying, those who are actively taking part, working side by side for the purpose of bringing this VBS and the stories to these children that will be here tomorrow. And two, ask God to give you a heart and an attitude of a servant. Look to meet the needs of others as you do that. If God gives you the heart, there'll be no question that you'll be ready to serve. And your service is very important in the establishment and the building up of the saints in any church. It's very important to those around you. It's very important to God. The secret of greatness truly is being a servant. And if you want to be great, you need to be a servant. We need to use that example that Christ gave us and how we look to him each and every day. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I think of all the examples that we have in the Bible and the examples in your life that we can draw on. Father, I know that there were times when in moments of serving you that I had questions as to whether I was doing the right thing. Is this a service that you want me to be in? Am I doing what you've called me to do? But I thank you, Lord, that I put aside those feelings and just trusted you. I thank you, Father, that as a member of this assembly, for all of those I see who have a servant's heart, who give their time, who serve selflessly for whatever the need is here at Fifth Avenue Chapel, whether it's VBS, Sunday school teacher, it doesn't matter what, they are willing to serve. And because of that, Lord, this assembly is a strong assembly. This assembly is one that is able to glorify and honor you collectively and individually. And I praise you and I thank you for that. Father, we need to understand and know what it is to serve. And I pray this morning that the message that you have given me to give to this group of people will enlighten them in some way as to what being a servant is and how they can serve and how can they be a better servant for you. So, Father, as we look at the rest of this day, beautiful sunshiny day, we thank you, Father, for the weather that we are expecting this week for Vacation Bible School. And again, Father, I thank you for all those who are participating and helping and being a part of it. Father, we give it all to you that it may bring glory and honor to your name. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.